You thought you knew, but you have no idea. It's the Urban Sports Scene.
Yeah, it's the Urban Sports Scene. I'm sorry it was so loud. Good God. It almost blew my eardrums out. It was all like, huh? I can barely hear you. Whoa, can I hear you?
Can't hear me?
Say something for me now.
Hello?
Yeah, I hear you now. Okay. Go ahead, my bad.
Great. Hi. This is cool, man.
Everything's going on. I'm good. My music, I hadn't queued everything. It's been a while, man. We haven't done the show in a minute.
2 weeks. Haven't been here for 2 weeks.
I know. I'm glad to have my man Will T, Ice Willie T, back.
I'm glad. I wouldn't call me Ice Willie T, but I'm definitely glad to be back.
You're like the phrase Ice Willie T?
Nah.
What's wrong with Ice Willie T?
You like Wally Flocka?
You know, I hate that thing.
Okay.
I hate that, sir. I don't know why you sound like real low real quick to me, real.
I don't know, man. Maybe raspy voice. You know what I mean?
I don't know. I don't think so. Something
might
be
my quiet storm voice. I don't know.
Quiet storm voice?
Yeah, quiet storm, you know, after midnight on 96.3.
That's too soft. You got like a little, like you trying to be a pimp or something?
Nah, not really. But, you know, it is what it is.
We're going to have to fix this up later, but I don't have time for it right now. I don't know why you sound low. You sound good before we started going live.
Yeah, I don't know. My tone hasn't changed.
Nah, you sound like the same Will T, you know what I mean?
Okay.
You know what I mean? Scream for me real quick on the phone. Scream real quick.
Hello!
Take one more time.
Hello!
Yeah, close enough. Hey, anyway, you listen to the Urban Sports Scene. We have technical difficulties. We'll get it all situated.
We ghetto as hell.
Hey, who cares?
Just sitting here 3 minutes before the show started.
Yeah, lift that mic up a little bit. Now talk.
Stepped in here 3 minutes before the show started.
That's a little better.
You can tell we didn't prepare to do any pre-production.
No, we didn't. We didn't talk about anything. It took some text, though.
That's what's going to make the show so invigorating and exciting.
Of course. You sound better now. I don't know what it was, but you sound a little better now.
Okay.
Yeah, but again, it's the Urban Sports Scene. You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene. Again, blessed to do this show. We haven't done the show in the last 2 weeks.
2 weeks, yep.
Yeah, 2 weeks. A lot has transpired. NBA draft, NBA free agency, you know. So, and we'll talk about a lot of that. We'll talk a little bit about the draft. We won't go too heavy into it.
That broke my heart.
He came out and said something, right?
It was in a deposition that he had in like 2005.
For real?
He admitted to obtaining Quaaludes for the purposes of potentially giving it to women and having sex.
Giving it to women and having sex.
Yeah, the Quaaludes, the drugs.
Bill Cosby, man. I know it hurts. It does hurt, man.
It does, man.
He's Bill Cosby. It's Cosby.
It's the cause,
man. It hurts, man. It really hurts. But again, also you can also check part of the Urban Sports Scene out on Fox Sports Radio, 1340 AM. Hopewell. We air from 5 to 7 Monday through Friday. So make sure you check us out. You check us out on the stream site, which is www.foxsports1340am.com. So make sure you check us out from, again, Monday through Friday from 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Our phone lines will be open after our segment. I'll let Will get into it, but our phone lines, the number is 240-478-3140. That's 240-478-3140. Will T, you know how to spark off.
Let's get into our tradition, the pregame.
Okay, Wimbledon tournament is on and popping. Started a couple weeks ago. Now you have recently Serena. Well, Serena just did it again. She won a three setter against Azarenka. I keep forgetting her name. Ah, darn it! I'm having a moment right now. Anyway, Serena Williams. She's already advanced. But I want to talk about I want to talk about her playing her sister Venus a couple days ago.
Okay.
They never have a classic match. You know,
like
Venus.
A match for the ages.
Yeah, exactly. You have Venus.
Feel as if,
go ahead.
This is. I'm sorry to cut you.
No, no, you're good. You're good. You're good.
Being rude. No, I apologize.
No, you're fine, man. You're fine.
I know what you're talking about. Like a match for the ages, like a defining match between them. That you'll be like, this is the greatest match between the Williams sisters.
Yeah.
I totally understand where you're coming from.
Like, I want to see Venus and Serena, put on a show. These are two talented ladies. Now, granted, Venus Williams isn't as good as she used to be, but I want to see it at the highest level. I've seen Venus when Venus was up in her peak. Whenever she played Serena, she would play sloppy and vice versa with the other. Venus, I mean, obviously, again, Serena is the better tennis player. She's arguably the best female tennis player of all time. And I expected her to take out Venus Williams in straight sets, which she did do. But I would love to see that match, you know, happen or be played at a high quality level.
Well, you know, it's crazy. You know, what is it in September? She'll go for the Grand Slam, if I'm not, you know, like mm-hmm. I said, I'm not the biggest. I say I watch Serena, but I'm not a huge tennis fan. If she gets that, Grand Slam, we have to start discussing her as the greatest female athlete ever.
Yeah, I agree. Actually, even on the show, we were discussing this on Fox Sports, that my man Jay Chris, he said that she thinks that she could be deemed the best athlete ever.
I wouldn't go as far as the
best. I wouldn't either.
I will definitely say if she wins this, you definitely have to have the discussion that she's the greatest female athlete ever.
I think she is the best female. If she gets the Grand Slam, say she wins Wimbledon, and then she wins the U.S. Open, to me, she's the best female athlete ever, hands down.
Yeah.
You can't, like, she's dominant. You know, I grew up watching tennis. I saw Steffi Graf play. I saw Navratilova play towards the end of her career. When I saw Steffi Graf was awesome. But Serena Williams, this is what tells you about greatness. Serena Williams took a break, came back, and dominated, and still was the best seed over the overall. She took a break to do whatever she wanted to do, be in fashion or whatever. Came back and still dominated tennis. And what Serena brings to the female tennis game is intimidation, skill, and intimidation.
And she brings highly skilled.
Yeah.
But also, she does intimidate. She can be intimidating to some of her opponents just because of her physical stature.
Exactly.
So, and what I mean, you know, like I said, when she wins in September, we'll start to have that debate about her being the greatest female athlete ever. But let's transition from the greatest female athlete ever to possibly TBE, the best ever in boxing. Floyd Mayweather is being stripped of his WBO welterweight championship that he won versus Manny Pacquiao.
Yeah, I don't see the importance of it. Don't really think it's a big deal. You wouldn't know better than us being a boxing fan.
Well, no, Floyd has always maintained that belts don't make him. He's showing you all now because he won't vacate the WBA and WBC. Because the WBA and WBC super welterweight titles, because the WBO has a rule that you can't hold titles in another weight class and also be the belt holder for your division for the WBO. So he's relenting the belt. I believe that when Timothy Bradley and Jesse Vargas fought, Timothy Bradley, since he won that fight, became the interim WBO champion. So he'll become the full WBO champion now that Floyd Mayweather has been stripped of the title.
Yeah. Again, I see Floyd Mayweather, like Mayweather losing his belt does nothing for me, because boxing, there's so many belts regardless. You can't catch up. You can't, like, really pay attention to them all. You just know, period. Right now he's pound for pound the best boxer in the world. Yep. That's all you need to know. That's the only title he needs to know.
You need to know September 12th, he's fighting his next fight. And then, you know, in the next couple of weeks, we should be getting word on who his opponent to be.
And who do you think that's going to be?
Most likely Amir Khan.
That he's going to skip his religious holiday?
Well, his religious holiday is already over. Ramadan ended, last week, mm-hmm. if I'm not mistaken. So, you know, I think that would still give him about...
For training purposes.
So that would give him about, 7 weeks to prepare for the fight?
Mm-hmm.
Which, and if Amir Khan does get the fight and he doesn't win, he'll just use that as an excuse. Yeah. I didn't have a full 8 to 12 weeks to prepare for the fight, yada, 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 blah, 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 whatever. I'm looking forward to his 49th fight. I'm not going to say I'm depending on who it is. I don't know if I'm going to purchase it.
Yeah, I don't purchase fights.
But I will definitely be viewing it.
I'm a freeloader and I don't purchase fights.
Yeah, we know that.
Yeah, I get over it.
Yeah. It is what it is, man.
Hey, man. Hey. Money is dry sometimes, man. It's dry.
No, I definitely feel you. I feel you.
You know what I mean? You can't don't knock the hustle.
I'm not knocking the hustle at all.
All right, let's go. Let's leave Mayweather. Let's leave Mayweather alone. We're going to I saw some disturbing footage, and I had to put this on the outline. DeAndre Johnson was released from the team. He plays with Florida State for punching a girl in the face at a bar.
Let's talk about this one last.
You want to talk about last?
Yeah.
You want to talk about last?
Let's talk about this
okay.
one last.
All right, let's go there. Okay, we'll come back to that one.
That one's a touchy subject.
Yeah, touchy
which subject. Can spark debate.
So yes.
Let's talk about that one last.
Okay, NBA Summer League. Did you catch it?
Yeah, I've been catching up with some. I've been watching Summer League. I watched it ever since, Saturday. I think it first came on, like Friday or Saturday. Mm-hmm. Well, no, it was Saturday. 4th of July. I caught the first game. I fought the first couple of games. I saw Frank Kaminsky in Charlotte.
He looks good.
He looked great, granted, against the level of competition that he's facing. I was someone who's skeptical of Charlotte picking him that early because I don't think a lot of the things that he does translates well to the NBA game. Lack of explosiveness, plays under the rim, lateral foot movement, especially if you want to put him as a stretch four in the way the game has been played today. But he looked great in his debut with the Charlotte Hornets. Another guy who's been tearing it up, Stanley Johnson from Detroit Pistons.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people said that Detroit made a unwise decision picking him over Justice Winslow. Uh-huh. But Stanley Johnson, he's been a guy who's definitely stepped up and has looked great during his time in the Orlando Summer League. And yesterday evening, I got a chance to catch Jahlil Okafor in the 76ers. I'll just say that I was highly upset that the 76ers, as a Knicks fan, I was highly upset that the 76ers took Jahlil Okafor. But you definitely understand, if you watch that game and then you know about his time at Duke and him through high school, you definitely saw why. And it manifested itself against the Spurs yesterday in the Summer League game. Jahlil Okafor was dominant in the post against, you know, granted he's playing against guys that are being the D League. One or two guys on the other team may make it to the NBA. Maybe three, but Jahlil Okafor definitely showed the goods that he had. The reason why he was number three overall pick in the NBA draft.
Real quick, all right, you watch. I didn't get a chance to watch any of the Summer League. I'm just looking up some of the stats. I saw that Okafor had 20. It was 20-9.
Yeah, 29.
So it was very impressive. The guy that I wanted the Lakers to get. I'm still disappointed in the pick of the Los Angeles Lakers.
Which
we can debate that thoroughly because the things they have within free agency too. Who from the guys you did see in Summer League, who was the best? Who stood out the most?
Stanley Johnson.
Okay.
So
what did he show you?
He showed me, well, I'll put him and a guy that even though it's his second year in the league, he showed me and another guy who impressed me was Aaron Gordon from Orlando Magic.
Really?
Yeah. He showed an improved range, a consistent jump shot. Uh-huh. Because the biggest knock on him, and one thing that I questioned was exactly what does he – I know what he brings. He brings high energy. He brings athleticism. He brings defense on the wing and also pretty good defense in the paint. But how would that transition to the NBA game? We saw last year in his rookie year he had his struggles. During the summer league, he showed a consistent jump shot. He showed the guy with – a lot more confidence in his offensive game. And hopefully if that transitions over in the fall, in the winter, and hopefully and ultimately into the spring for Orlando, that's going to be a dangerous young team with all the pieces that they have.
Again, I like, I like what I heard about Frank. Go ahead.
But back, Stanley Johnson, sorry to cut you off.
You good?
I forgot. I got lost in my thoughts. Stanley Johnson, he showed an all-around game, a guy who can slash to the bucket, who can hit the jumper, who can set himself and his teammates up. And also, he showed a very diverse game offensively and also showed good defense on the ball and away from the ball. So maybe Stan Van Gundy did make the right choice in picking Stanley Johnson over Justice Winslow, but that only time will tell.
The jury's still out on Justice Winslow. I like him. I like what he has to bring. I don't look at him as a star player. I just don't. We all heard the comparisons with James Harden. I don't see it.
I see Caron Butler.
Yeah, if that.
I definitely see Caron Butler.
Why do you see Caron?
The toughness, the physical, his physical build, toughness, a guy who has that that mid-range jumper, a guy who can rebound the ball well for his size, defends well, and a guy who has a all-around game but needs to be a better creator of shots, of his own shot and for others. So I see Caron Butler more than anything.
We'll see. But let's go to the topic that we decided to skip. I referred to about the freshman quarterback from Florida State, DeAndre Johnson. There's videotape out there of him punching a female in the face at a bar. I'll let you go first.
I saw the tape. I'll start off by saying never should a man hit a woman. So I got that out of the way.
Exactly.
But if you look at the tape and you look at things – and you look at it, I'm not saying it's justified him hitting her, but for him to be thrown, I don't know. I'll say this. I think they're making this decision to throw him off in a vacuum because of what happened with Jameis Winston. Mm-hmm. You know, I think the people in Tallahassee would be outraged if, you know, Jameis Winston was allowed to play. Jameis Winston, even though he was prosecuted and found not guilty, got off, and then this situation where you have clear evidence of him punching a young lady in the face if they allowed him to stay. He's a young man. He's 19 years old. Everyone, we were all young once. I know definitely I wouldn't handle situations now as someone who's older. I'm not going to give out my age, but who's older versus someone who's 19. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So I, you know, so taking that into account. But also, if you look at it, he physically restrains. She tries to punch him. He restrains her.
Yeah.
So that's one. Then once she does that, she knees him and then kicks him. Yeah. And then she throws a punch.
Yeah.
I know that men aren't supposed to hit women, but I think naturally, whenever someone throws a punch at you, Your number one instinct is to react by throwing a punch back. Not to condone or say what he did was right, because he was wrong. And no way should any man hit a woman.
Yeah.
But after seeing the tape, I could see, I don't condone it, but I see why he reacted in the way he did. I don't condone it at all. Don't get me wrong. I don't condone it at all.
No, I know you don't. I know you don't.
But I see, but it's something.
No, I'm
myself in a situation
someone
that's 19 years old who probably doesn't have the experience and the emotional intelligence and stability. I see why he reacted the way he did. Not to say it was right, but I see why he reacted the way he did.
I think that, I'll put it this way, a chick shouldn't get mad that a dude punches you back if you put your hands on him. To a certain extent, granted, I believe that no man should ever touch a woman. I've been in situations where a girl was wailing on me, and I did nothing. And yeah. I'm gonna tell it like I always tell folks. I'm a big dude. If I put my hands on a chick, I gotta put her in the hospital. You know what I mean? My problem with the situation is the way the dude hit her. And God forbid he hit her. If he hit her and he knocked her out and she bumped her head on the table and something happened to her life, then that dude's future is done. It's really done.
True.
You know what I mean? So by putting your head, because think about it, at the end of the day, he's a football player. So he's in good shape. He's a strong kid. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? He's in the weight room. This is a chick. This ain't Ronda Rousey. This is a chick. Ronda Rousey's a chick. I'm just saying, this is not a lady who's training over this, that, and the other. This is a chick. So to me, like, you're stronger than her. It's just, to me, I'm not a fan of it at all. Granted, obviously, you know, he's a young guy or whatever. You think of the situation with Chris Brown and
Ray, whatever, Rice.
Ray Rice and stuff like that. But at the end of the day, man, you can't put your hands on a female. I'm sorry. You just can't do it.
Nice.
There's nothing. There's no – I can understand. I always tell folks, as I've gotten older, I can understand it a little bit more. Because, again, if a girl is wailing on you, like you said, it's your instincts come out. Like, boom, it could be a chain. It could just be a reflex. Like, boom, you go right at it. You're not thinking about, okay, this is a chick. You know what I mean? So I understand what you're saying. But at the end, like, so as I've gotten older, I've understood it more. I've been like, oh, yeah, I can see how it can happen. I don't condone it, but I can see how it can happen. Back then, I could, as a kid, I could never see it happening because I always told myself, it's like, dude, if somebody put their hands on my mom, what would I do? You know what I mean? Yeah. So, like, if I don't want it to happen to my mom, I should have that same thought process about you. You know what I mean? To that extent. That's how I always rationalize stuff.
I totally understand. But let me ask you this question, though.
Ask away.
You mentioned Ronda Rousey.
Yeah.
If it was Ronda Rousey who ran up on you,
would I hit her back?
Would you hit her back?
No, I wouldn't. I'd just walk away. But I'd be tempted. I'd be thoroughly tempted because I know she's trained to beat my. She's trained to beat, but you know what? She's trained to beat somebody's ass.
I always say the best course of action for any man you get into that situation walk away. Is to A, walk away. Or if it's a woman who's hitting on you, is to restrain her and call the cop.
Exactly. No, I agree with you.
Ask for help. Someone call the cops.
Yeah, because you're strong enough. See, that's the thing. You're strong enough, and I'm sure he was. He's strong enough to hold her up and be like, hey, somebody get this chick or get the cops because I ain't trying to go to jail for stuff for something stupid. I've had this talk before. Like, I grabbed this individual and I was like, hey, can somebody get this chick? Cause I ain't trying to get locked up for this. This ain't about this life.
I totally understand. But you know, to DeAndre Johnson, hopefully you learn from this young man and maybe you get a second chance. If you do, show remorse, show that you've been rehabilitated, made change, be contrite.
Mm-hmm.
And your apology and, you know, own up to what you did.
It's most important thing is to own up to it.
Yep.
That's the most important thing. Anyway, it's about time for a commercial break. When we get back.
Hold on. We didn't talk about women's soccer.
Oh. Female. Oh, you're right. It's true. It's real
I don't talk. Care about it. I'm just giving you a hard time. I don't care.
Congratulations to the women's soccer team for winning the World Cup. Solo.
U.S. Women's soccer team.
Yeah,
they say like 25 million people watched it.
Yeah, I know a lot of people watched it. I just wasn't one.
I didn't care.
I didn't enough really to care watch it at all.
I'm not gonna
lie to you and say I watched it. I didn't watch it.
You know what's crazy? I was having this conversation with someone.
What's about the Patriot? What being a Patriot?
Yeah, whether it's patriotism or whether it's the popularity of the sport. The person was screaming, "Oh, it's the popularity of the sport." I was like, "No, it's not." I was like, "Because if the sport was this popular, you would be able to sustain that popularity after the World Cup."
You never can.
A women's soccer league has not been sustainable. They've had three of them. I think they're on the third one. The other two have folded.
They all suck. Sorry. Other than the international game, they all suck.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I was having a conversation with the person.
Let me break it down for the folks who don't understand why it sucks in this country. I'm just gonna be real. I'm gonna be real with you. What does baseball, basketball, and football have in common? Think about it. In this country, they're homegrown made sports.
Well, basketball is Canadian,
but you know what I mean. Like they're homegrown made sports. You're right.
Dr. James Nelson.
But a homegrown made sports. That's the difference. But if you look at soccer, it's an international game. That's the only reason why it won't fly here. You know what I mean? That's the only hockey is being punished for a little bit. Hockey's still popular here, but hockey's still popular here.
Yeah, but it's punished a little bit. But you know,
it's
bigger in Canada.
Exactly. There's a reason for that. That's all it is. The American games will be pushed to the fullest, and that's what it is. Stop arguing it. It is what it is. Deal with it. I'm African, baby. I don't like soccer. I don't. My parents are Nigerian. I don't like it. Why? I was born here. I eat chicken. I watch football, basketball. I'm African American and I love girls with big butts. Anyway, it's time for commercial break.
And on that note, it's the Urban Sports Scene.
And when we get back, we're gonna talk about the NBA free agency. LaMarcus Aldridge is now a Spur. We didn't get to talk about that last week.
No, we didn't. We got a lot to catch up on.
The draft.
NBA, free agency. So
NBA All-Star game.
Lock in for NFL. a good 30-minute session, people.
Exactly. Major League Baseball All-Star game. That's what I meant. Anyway, it's the Urban Sports Scene.
For ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
Hi, this is Wally Akinso from the Urban Sports Scene. Earlier today, I had a sit-down interview with Jim Gray, which focused on a hard decision that I had to make.
How many people know your decision right now?
In all realness, Jim, that's a dumbass question. I should smack your ass right now.
One hand or two hands?
If you keep playing, I'm going to smack you with two hands.
When did you decide?
The idea of me smacking you came about 30 seconds ago.
You still a nail biter?
Don't worry about my nails. They won't be in the way when I smack you. Don't worry about it, all right?
We've had everybody else biting their nails, so I guess it's time for them to stop chewing.
Jim, if I was you, I wouldn't worry about everybody else.
The answer to the question everybody wants to know. What's your decision?
I smacked Jim Gray.
That was the conclusion you woke up with this morning.
Yes, Jim, that was the decision that had me tossing and turning this morning. It was hard, but I felt that my left and my right would make an impact on your face. And I was right.
Why?
Why? That's why. You think you know? You have no idea. You don't know the decisions that anybody within the USS has to make.
Life is good. Life is good.
Life is good. Life is good. Life is good. Life is good.
Shout out to Urban Sports Team and Wally and Will. Love y'all. Appreciate y'all. Keep up the support. We'll keep, you know, we'll keep the hits coming.
Yeah, we back from break. Thank you, Skylar Diggers. We love you. I'm sorry that you out for the season two. I would love to see you in a WNBA game down here in DC.
Me too. I would actually. I've been to a couple of WNBA games.
Have you been to a Skylar Diggins WNBA game?
No, I've never
game.
Been to a Skylar
that's
Diggins
the, that's,
WNBA
that's the That's what we need
I'll
to
hit
know.
Her up. I'm pretty sure she remembers us.
She, yeah, no, that was a legendary interview.
It was.
You know what I mean? Shout out to Wally and Will. It don't get any better than that, man. Yeah. She was a sweetheart, though. Y'all she don't is, know. Man. She, you know, such a nice girl.
That's the homie right there.
That's man. The homie right there, the Urban Sports thing. She retweeted that segment, like, for days, too.
That's what's up.
That segment has so many hits. It's not even ridiculous. Some of y'all are perverts, though. Real talk. That's why I got so much hits. Yeah, I was a college kid, and y'all was all like lusting over a college kid at the time. It's amazing. It's amazing. Anyway, you can listen to us on. You can listen to our show on our official Urban Sports Scene website, which is www.walio.podbean.com. We're also on iTunes, Twitter, and Facebook. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. And if you have any questions or comments, just email us at change.da.game6@gmail.com. You can also listen to us on the Sports Clear Podcast Show on Thursday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Just visit www.blogtalkradio.com/WC Steeler Fan. The show is produced by West Coast Steeler Fan. And again, our phone lines are open. The number is 240-478-3140. That's 240-478-3140. All right, let's get into NBA free agency.
Let's not even call it free agency. Let's just say NBA offseason.
And you know, that sounds better. You know what? NBA free agency sounds real stupid.
We're going to hit the draft.
Yeah, NBA offseason.
Yeah, offseason moves.
Let's go to offseason moves. Let's start with the local team, the Washington Wizards. They picked up Gary Neal, made a trade to get Dudley, I believe. Now they have Dudley.
Jared Dudley. Yeah,
Jared Dudley.
They signed Allen Anderson today.
Yeah, Allen Anderson. Yeah.
Level exception.
Is that, so let's speak on the moves. Are you a fan of some of the Wizards' moves? Especially because they're strapped for cash.
Yeah, they are strapped for cash. I think we all know I've been critical of the GM in the past.
Yeah, often.
Quite often. I'll say this. I don't necessarily think he's going to be the guy that takes this team over the top, but I think he's done a decent job. Losing Paul Pierce. Excuse me. You signed him for essentially a 1-year deal. He decided that, yeah, I want to play ball again, but I want to go back home and I want to play it for the coach who helped me win a championship. So you say, where are we going to go from here? So you draft Kelly Oubre. That's his last name, right?
Oh, Kelly Oubre.
Oubre. Yeah. So you draft Kelly Oubre, a guy who had his struggles at Kansas,
yeah,
to say the least. He came in
highly touted,
mm-hmm, McDonald's All-American, mm-hmm, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. First 10 games, played 31 minutes from that 90. I think it was not. He didn't play a lot.
Well, he was playing a lot in the beginning. Then they just benched him.
Yeah, they benched him.
Yeah.
And then he came back on during the end of the
season.
That's true. So yeah. I will say this about Kelly Oubre. He's shown that when faced with adversity, that he buckles down and, mm-hmm, responds positively. Because, you know, Bill Self benched him and he came back, proved that he was worth the minutes and worth the time. But I have a problem with a guy who comes in and says, whoever drafts me is going to win a championship.
Yeah, that was crazy, right? It's too much. That's too much.
That was a little bit too much.
Especially for a kid that's like not deemed to be it.
Yeah, who's not deemed to be it.
Confident. That's cool.
Confident. I like that. Two, the second thing I have a problem about this, Ernie even admitted himself that we didn't work this guy out. We didn't spend any time with him pre-draft.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he admitted that on the radio.
This is the radio
on local sports talk radio in DC.
I'm messing with you, go ahead.
He admitted that they didn't bring him in for a workout, so to me that was a little, that caught me off guard. Is it that, you know, you had so much tape on him, or you have your analytics department said this guy is a certain he's a can't miss? So, you know, that was a little bit disheartening. But, you know, I like the Jared Dudley pickup. Jared Dudley's an energy guy who can knock down a three. If you want to play small ball, he can be the four.
Yes, your stretch four.
He could be your stretch four. The only problem I have with, you know, Gary Neal's not a guy who's going to create a shot himself for himself or others. He's a guy who gets his points off of set plays. The only problem I have with losing Paul Pierce and the additions you made, Paul Pierce was a guy who created a shot for himself and others. All the guys you brought in aren't necessarily guys that are difference makers that can create a shot for themselves and others. In today's NBA, I think if you look at the teams closely that have won, mm-hmm. they all have had three guys that can create a shot for themselves and others on at any time on their roster. To me, just looking at the way this roster is laid out, you only have two guys that's going to create a shot for themselves and others, and that is John Wall and Bradley Beal. And you have Ramon Sessions. Ramon Sessions is a guy who's good at running sets. Mm-hmm. Gary Neal's a guy who's good at getting his points off of sets. Allen Anderson is a guy who can create offense for himself. But no,
is he really? Do you think so? I don't. I look at him as a spot up shooter too.
He can get. He can get to the basket a little bit. I'm not saying he's a world beater off the dribble, mm-hmm. but he can get to the basket a little bit. But all in all, if I had to give Ernie a grade for, you know, the offseason, the draft included, I give him a B+.
Yeah,
and that's high praise coming from me.
Definitely high praise coming from you. So negative when it comes to Ernie Grunfeld.
I'm not negative. I'm just realistic.
Or whatever you call it. I call it negative. You call it realistic. We can agree to disagree on that one. But yeah, I liked Dudley. I like Jared Dudley. I like that signing. I mean, that they got him in a trade. I'm sorry. They got that via trade. I like Neal because, again, I'm not asking Neal to create offense. I'm going to rely on Bradley Beal and John Wall to do that for him. Like, these two showed a lot in the postseason, especially Bradley Beal. Bradley Beal's going to need to show this, you know, show what he did in the postseason and bring it to the regular season for this team really to take it to the next level. We can't keep deeming Bradley Beal a playoff performer. Now, that's great. Don't get me wrong. That shows you that during the tough times, he can step up. But we want to see that in the regular season for this team to take it to the next level, because we do know seeding plays a part in the postseason. So if you're playing at a fourth average, at a level that's just averaging 14, 15 points a game, where we've seen you average about 30 points or 25 points in the postseason, it's a problem. So this Wizards team needs Bradley Beal to play at the same level he's played in the postseason the last 2 years. And if he can do that, I think the signings of, again, Jared Dudley, Neal, Anderson, these are all good shooters, which the Wizards, we saw in the regular season, wasn't a good three-point shooting team. In the postseason, they did change that around, but in the regular season, they were probably one of the lowest three-point shooting teams in the NBA in terms of attempts, I believe. So if they can change that, the emergence of Otto Porter, let's see what this young rookie can do in Kelly Oubre.
Sit on the bench.
Yeah, sit on the bench. Summer League is where we can see what he can do in terms of shooting the ball or create his own shot. Again, it's not a big indication of what's going to happen to him in the regular season, a la Kwame Brown, who had a phenomenal Summer League years ago. So we'll see. Again, this Wizards team, to me, didn't do a lot, but they didn't need to do that much because they're still relying on what's going to happen next season with Kevin Durant. That's the whole game plan for this Wizards team, yeah, and you can tell. That's not a lie.
They're keeping salary cap flexibility open. I'll talk about the move that they didn't, the guy that they didn't get that I was kind of surprised. He ended up going to the Spurs. That's David West. David West opted out of his contract with Indiana Pacers for what, $12 million?
Yeah.
Then he ended up signing with the Spurs for $1.5 million. So a net loss. For a
championship.
Yeah, for a championship, a net loss of $10.5 million. And he, one of the teams that he was interested in was the Wizards. Now, granted, I understand why he went to the San Antonio Spurs if your mission is to get a championship. But I thought it would have been great if the Wizards would have been able to get David West and possibly could have moved Nene moved his contract, $13 million that he's on this year in the last year of his contract. I think it would have really set them up really well. But
it would have been good.
It would have, but it didn't happen. But I'm still pretty happy with what they have. Nene and also Chris Humphreys once he gets back in the form. I don't know what happened to Chris Humphreys after the injury.
Yeah, we all forget about Chris Humphreys. There was no he just didn't.
Randy Whitman didn't play him. But
that's Randy Whitman. That's his MO, though.
But if you look at it and look at this roster, it's shaping up to a roster that could potentially go about 8, possibly 9 deep during the regular season. And if Randy decides to use that depth, I think it would be advantageous to him for the purposes of preventing injuries and keeping some of those older legs fresh for the playoff run. And also, when it comes playoff time, your guys have the confidence and the proven experience to step in there and contribute on a high level. Because we all saw what Golden State did going 9-10 deep, that's what ultimately, to me anyway, that ultimately won the championship for them when they were down 2-1. Going small ball and be able to go 9-10 deep.
All right, real quick, the Clippers gave Paul Pierce 3 years, a 3-year contract.
3-year, $10 million.
3-year, $10 million contract. The Wizards, I believe, offered him 2 years. Should the Wizards went harder at trying to keep Paul Pierce?
No, because Paul Pierce wanted to go to L.A. Like, it's not like you did anything wrong. It's not like Paul Pierce didn't embrace the city. It's not as if he had a problem with management or coaching. He liked being in the locker room. His family liked the city. It's just ultimately he knows that he's on the tail end of his career. He always wanted to go home and play. And he wanted to play for Doc Rivers again. So, ultimately it worked out. I think what we're all forgetting is not too long ago, Paul Pierce and KG were traded from Boston to the Clippers, but because the trade was voided and the commissioner at the time, David Stern, pretty much blocked them from going there for a year,
mm-hmm.
you know, that's where he wanted to be. You know, he wanted to be in L.A.,
mm-hmm.
and I think it's a great addition for the Clippers. We're going to talk about it more about possibly, but I think
we'll talk about it more, but
I know a lot of people are down on the Clippers and Doc Rivers for not getting DeAndre Jordan back, but I think net what they added is far more important than what they lost for a championship run.
Disagree, but we'll talk about that.
Yeah, we'll talk about it.
Yeah, it's always good to debate, man. It's always good to debate. All right, let's go to the biggest signing of the off season. Obviously this guy was it. He was the big fish in the pond. It wasn't Kevin Love. It was this guy, LaMarcus Aldridge. He decided to go home and sign with the San Antonio Spurs to play with Popovich, Duncan, Ginobili, Parker, those boys. And they also got, you named David West. Let's speak on that real quick.
Great signing for San Antonio. LaMarcus Aldridge, if ultimately winning championships is what you wanted to do, you made the right decision. You know, there's no way that you can tell me that anyone coming into this year could be more favored than San Antonio. You know, you got Duncan, you signed back Kawhi Leonard, you signed back Danny Green, Manu Ginobili's coming back, Tony Parker's still signed. We all know that Pop can create a scheme around his best players to get them involved. So it's a net win for LaMarcus. It's a net win for LaMarcus Aldridge. You know, even though he left what, like $29 million, $30 million,
yes, in Portland,
on the table in Portland. But you know, I'm pretty sure the right accountant is telling you, look, even though you left $29 million on the table, you're not losing that much because there's no state tax in Texas.
Yeah.
And plus you can't put a price on, you know, wanting to go back home and be successful back home.
Yeah, people act like going home is overrated. Obviously, these NBA players are telling you differently. You know, mm-hmm. to be honest with you, LeBron going back to Cleveland, Kevin Durant, big time rumors that he's coming back. He could be coming back here to DC. So again, playing at home isn't overrated. I know people think that, well, you can have a home in the summer, but these guys really want to be home. I mean, they're going to be home during when they get home. I mean, home games, they want that opportunity to play in front of their crowd often. So obviously to me, it's not overrated. To me, this show is one thing about LaMarcus Aldridge. We always talk about people aren't about winning. You know, you're like, dang, why if LeBron wanted to win, he can play for Pop and he would win all the time. Dude, LaMarcus Aldridge is about W's, man. Seriously, he could go to Dallas. He can win to Dallas. He won the best coach, the best team.
He won the best organization.
Best organization in basketball. And he's at home. It's a win-win situation. That's why, to me, if he wasn't coming to L.A., you know, because that's where, you know, a lot of people thought he was going to come. If he wasn't coming to L.A., this is the ideal situation for him. You're home. You were a winner. The best coach, probably to many, the best coach of all time. To a lot of people, this is the best coach of all time.
I wouldn't go that far. There's a guy with 11 rings.
Well, this guy wins with less. The best coach of all time. Sorry, I'm just being real. An aging team. He can win an aging team at that, too. So, he's shown it to be relevant every year. So, and then and then you got Tim Duncan to learn from. I mean, good God, Tim Duncan. So, you're going to get Tim Duncan. Look like the David Robinson, Tim Duncan thing. Now it's a Marcus Aldridge, Tim Duncan. You know, Tony Parker still can do things at the point guard position. You know, Kawhi Leonard's coming to his own. Now you really, to me, Kawhi Leonard was never a guy that you can say, okay, you be the face of the franchise. You have one in LaMarcus Aldridge.
Yep.
Pound for pound, to me, the best. People won't say Kevin Love at that time. I've always counted LaMarcus Aldridge as the best big power, I mean, the best four in basketball.
Well, let me ask you this. We're going to get to DeAndre Jordan a little bit later. But after DeAndre Jordan and LaMarcus Aldridge signed, there were multiple stories coming out about both. Essentially, the reason why they left is because of a teammate. With I don't know if you heard about LaMarcus.
Yeah,
Aldridge.
I heard about it.
With Damian.
Oh, I know about it. I didn't hear.
Well, no, it wasn't that. Okay, so they're saying that LaMarcus Aldridge, essentially, one of the major reasons factors that played into him leaving was kind of the lack of respect that he felt that he got from the Portland Trailblazers organization,
yeah.
And also the working relationship or lack thereof with him and LaMarcus Aldridge, with LaMarcus Aldridge and Damian Lillard.
Really?
And vice versa with
I heard about Chris Paul. I heard about Chris Paul and DeAndre
Jordan. To me personally, I think it's silly for someone to think that one person
could
run you out of town and run you away from $30 million. I think that both of these guys, for different reasons, decided to go to those franchises. Now, I could see now, reading into some of the stuff about the way LaMarcus Aldridge felt about the way the franchise viewed him, I could see.
Because the
that.
Money. That money.
Well, no, it wasn't the money. It was, I think what a lot of people forget, LaMarcus Aldridge has been in the league for 9 years.
Yeah.
And during that 9 years, the first couple of years, he was looked at as the third wheel, yeah. When they had Brandon Roy and Greg Oden.
You're right.
And LaMarcus Aldridge. And then once those guys flamed out for injury reasons, it was LaMarcus Aldridge. And even at that point, Portland didn't really push him as the face of the franchise. Mm-hmm. Then Damian Lillard comes on the scene, and he's getting all the hoop.
Yes, I'm saying I agree with that. I agree with him.
You know, it could make LaMarcus Aldridge, it may have played a role into him deciding to switch, but I don't think that relationship with Damian Lillard is enough for you to run away from $30 million.
I don't think Damian Lillard made LaMarcus Aldridge leave Portland. I really think the home factor played in more than that. DeAndre Jordan, we'll talk about later. That's a whole different beast, though. But Damian Lillard and LaMarcus Aldridge, nah. I think being home, you're going for a winner. You're going to a winner. You're seeing what's happening to that Portland team right now. Everybody has left. Batum left. I think Batum's in Charlotte.
They traded Nicholas Batum.
Yeah, he's in Charlotte.
Robin Lopez is a Nick.
Is a Nick. Matthew.
Wesley Matthews. He turned down max money from Sacramento and took not significantly, but he took less to go sign with Dallas.
Dallas, yeah. So, I mean, that team is gutted.
Yeah, it's gutted. You know,
Damian Lillard is a man on the island.
We're going to see just how much of a star Damian Lillard is with what they have around him.
Because they struggled when LaMarcus was hurt. I mean, they struggled without LaMarcus. When LaMarcus ever went down, they didn't look the same.
No, so, you know, Damian Lillard, if it's true that management was pushing him to be the face of the franchise, now he's the face of the franchise.
There you go.
You gave him the max contract. And now we're going to see what he does.
Correction. They struggled with him. Not Aldridge, but when Wesley Matthews left. So if Aldridge is gone, that's a problem. And you're not stacking this team with anybody that you can replace. You're not stacking this team with extra talent. Unless you're going to rely on the kid from Lehigh for getting the back. McCollum.
C.J. McCollum.
Yeah. Well, who I do like. I think he's skilled. But we'll see what happens with that team. I just don't think Portland will be anything special. But you know, a team that was kind of court LaMarcus Aldridge. They had a nice little spill for him. The Los Angeles Lakers, the team I grew up watching, the team I grew up idolizing.
You were a fan. You still should be.
I am a fan. I was just when Kobe Bryant retires, I'm back in business, baby. But Lakers couldn't get him, and they couldn't get Kevin Love. They couldn't get DeAndre Jordan. Couldn't get LaMarcus Aldridge. Couldn't get Greg Monroe. This is the season. This was the off season of big men, power forwards, and bigs, but pretty much power forwards. And the Lakers couldn't get any of them. Is the Lakers mystique done? As my man Will T starts to yawn.
Not yawning because I'm bored. Yawning because I'm tired.
We all tired. I know, saying, dude. I didn't say he was bored.
I don't think it's LA. Look, it's LA. Now, although, you know, the Clippers have ascended to kind of the status of the team of L.A. now because they're far more excited and they're winning. It's still L.A. and it's still the Lakers. The problem is you don't have the right person running that franchise, which is you have Jim Buss running the franchise. Jenny Buss should be more involved in the basketball operation decisions, the personnel decisions, just the reality of it. Jim Buss is good at running the operational aspect of it, but maybe his sister, they need to slide over and let his sister have more say in the personnel. And I don't know if she's part of those presentations or not, but anyone you can get in there could potentially help because, you know, they've been flaming out ever since they made that pitch to Dwight Howard. It just hasn't been the same. The luster.
Dwight Howard?
Yeah.
Or that pitch to you're talking about Howard?
Yeah, I mean, last year.
Oh, it's Howard. You're right. Continue.
The luster has, I think with that one, that was kind of the start of the knock over the dominoes. That's kind of showed the sign, the demise of the luster for that LA of the Lakers franchise.
Mm-hmm.
Here it was, you had a guy who a lot of people at the time considered the best big man.
Mm-hmm.
And we all know that the history of the Lakers is built on their big men, which I don't agree with.
The truth, though, it has been.
Huh?
It's the truth. It has been.
Nah, there have been a far more dynamic team when they've had a great when they have great guard.
They won championships.
Jerry Buss.
They won championships.
I mean, excuse me, Jerry West, Magic Johnson, Kobe Bryant. When those guys were at their peak,
Shaq,
their pinnacle.
Shaq and Kobe. Again, this team wins when they have a good big. We continue.
I'm not saying they don't, but I think this team is far more dynamic and entertaining and brings that.
We talking about championship.
Factor.
We ain't talking about.
You know, when you're the Lakers, that's what you sell. You sell. That
team, they ain't Showtime. Lakers haven't been Showtime.
They haven't been Showtime, but you they sell been Showtime that entertainment.
It
sells
Nick
that Nexel entertainment.
And Eddie Jones
but
in town.
This is what I'm saying. It's L.A. You need that entertainment factor.
Go ahead.
Because
go
there's
ahead.
So many other things to do. If you think about it, if you're in a city like L.A. or Miami, how many other things are there to do besides show up for a basketball game?
How many things to do?
Yeah.
It's a lot of things to do.
There's a lot of things to do. So you need that entertainment factor. That's why the Miami games were packed when LeBron was there. The Laker games were packed when you had that razzle dazzle or you had a guy who was a star when you had an elite guard like Kobe or Magic Johnson. That's just my opinion, my view on it. But I'm going to keep going. You got Mitch Kupchak as a guy who's shown that he can make the right trades and draft. You know, I like the D'Angelo Russell pickup. You have Julius Randle who's coming off of his injury.
So how come they couldn't rein in LaMarcus Aldridge with all that young talent.
The thrill is gone. That luster, because people want to win. The Lakers don't necessarily have a roster that's able to win at this point. People will say Kobe. Kobe's one of the top greatest
Bingo.
Players. Greatest players.
That's the problem.
I think, you know, a lot of people say that Kobe isn't the problem, but I do think some guys could potentially be put off by potentially playing with Kobe.
Bingo. He's a common denominator. I don't like obviously was it Jim, was it Jerry? Jim Buss, what's his name? Keep forgetting his name. Jimmy Buss.
Uh-huh.
Little Jimmy.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Like, everybody wants to blame him. Like, really, they want to blame him. It's fine. He's part of the he's part of it. I'm not gonna lie to you, he's part of it. Because truth be told, if you feel a particular way, stand by it. Like, you feel that you wanna put the Lakers to this new situation where you want to go a new direction for the future, then own that. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like because Kobe's complained about it and you've had bad press, you don't even want to get rid of Kobe, even though you know at this point in time the direction of Kobe Bryant with the Lakers should be over. Like, the Kobe Bryant being the face of this franchise should be done. If you really want to move forward, if you really want to make this team into something down the road, like down the road, if you want this team to contend for a championship quick enough, you should, it should, the Kobe era should be done. And you should be, like, when Dwight Howard was saying, I want to be the face of the franchise, but Kobe's not letting me, you know, Kobe's not going to relinquish it. You should have been like, all right, Kobe, Dwight, this is Dwight's team. I don't care how weak-minded Dwight is. That does nothing for me, but this is, you're pitching it to a star. Like, you want, at the time, you said the best big in basketball at the time. You pitch it to him. Like, Dwight, this ain't going, I mean, Kobe, this not going to be your team.
Well, I'm not in those meetings, but
from all
indications are, whenever Kobe is pitched, has been a part of the pitching process to free agents.
You're losing out.
It's always been, I can show you how to win. You have to follow me. Where these guys are like, look, I'm a bad dude myself. Yeah. You on your last leg. I don't know what you have. You're coming off of an injury, an Achilles injury that, you know, historically has taken away the explosiveness from guys who depend on explosives like Kobe. So why don't you play Robin to my Batman? Let me lead us. You could provide the leadership, but on the court, when it comes to, you know, making plays, this thing should run through me, not you.
Totally agree. Again, like, the common denominator, man. Like, all my years of watching Lakers play basketball, we've always brought in a free agent. If it was there, we needed one, we bought him. We bought when we wanted. We brought in the guy we wanted. If we targeted it, we were going to get him. Like, I didn't believe we were going to get Shaq. There's no way I thought we were getting Shaq that year. We got Shaq. When we got before Shaq, we got Cedric Ceballos. It was like, they targeted Bam. They wanted Cedric Ceballos. They got Cedric Ceballos. So, like, everybody they targeted, like, they got. You know, Jerry West was a genius. I mean, you know what I mean? Mitch Kupchak, he's not a bad dude. To me, I'm starting to lose faith in Mitch Kupchak. I don't think he's that good anymore. I really don't believe in Mitch anymore.
Nah, I don't think he should lose faith in Mitch.
I do, because he got Russell.
He's doing a decent. He's
got
doing,
Russell. He should have got Okafor. I'm still mad
dude,
at that.
I think Russell is
going
to be a star. I think Okafor, because there aren't any great big men in his skill set, he's going to come in and be
dominant
and make a dominant. He's going to be a
dominant
guy.
Is a strong word, but he's going to be real. Let me let you finish.
No, with his skill set, he's a guy that's going to make an impact earlier.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, long term, D'Angelo Russell. I always said there are only two stars in the draft: D'Angelo Russell and Jahlil Okafor.
Oh, Towns is a star.
I don't see him carrying the team. I don't see him carrying.
You know,
the
Wisnet is better than Russell for real, right?
Who?
You know, Moon Day is better than Russell for real. He's better than Russell in high school.
D'Angelo Russell is a guy that can lead a team.
He didn't do nothing to me. I watched him play.
That Ohio State team was, to be kind, not that good.
He wasn't that special to me. I watched him play.
We'll see.
Like, to me, like, we're talking about
draft.
Were
you the same guy who said Deron Williams was better than Chris Paul?
Huh? No. Yeah. I said, you wouldn't be real. I didn't say that. I said, you talking about within our NBA, like our discussion here? That's Ray.
Yeah.
Ray said that here.
Oh, okay.
I said in the draft. Oh, and I said Raymond Felton was gonna be the best player out of all of them.
Okay, we'll see how that
that's real.
Out.
See, that I'm real, man. But
we'll see how that
I'm real with that one. You're talking about in terms of like when we had, you talking about our debate between the three of us? We never talked about the draft between the three of us, between those three point guards. I've always said Chris Paul is better than Deron Williams. That's Ray Jeezy.
I've always said Chris Paul is the generational talent.
I'm
telling you right now, even though you know he plays in a league that
he's going to get fried because he's playing against a harder position.
I'm not saying D'Angelo, mark my words, 3 years from now, we'll be talking about D'Angelo Russell as one of the stars of the NBA.
3 years from now, he'll be with a bust.
He'll be on the level of at least Damian Lillard. I tell you.
He'll be a bust 3 years from now. No, nothing against him, though. He'll be a bust. Then I'll look at Okafor and be like, well, we should have kept drafting Okafor. Know why? Because Okafor is going against he's going against lesser competition. So he's gonna fry because his post game is trill, and there's nobody who can defend a real big. If Roy Hibbert could score 15 points a game at a time when he was playing at a high level, what do you think this kid's gonna do?
No, I totally agree with you, Jahlil Okafor. I said he's gonna be the guy that makes an instant impact sooner.
Is a pick and pop player who can play big in the post. Left, he can finish with left and right, and you saw his workouts. He drained like 73s out of 100.
Okay, I'm not saying Carl Anthony Towns isn't good.
I'm talking about the draft later. Yeah, I know. We're getting too early. But I'm with you. Like, to me, the Laker mystique is dead. And my reason is Kobe Bryant. It's Kobe. And maybe it'll change. Maybe it'll change when Kobe retires. I think, and that's the thing I'm going to tell Laker fans, fans who are pro Kobe, which is a lot of them, that once Kobe retires, let's just see what free agents the Lakers bring in.
It'll be interesting.
You know what I mean? But, let's go to other thoughts, your other thoughts of things that happened during the NBA offseason. Kevin Love signing back with Cleveland. Do you think that's going
to
happen?
No, I didn't. I actually thought he was going to go to Boston or Boston or LA and possibly to Phoenix. But he re-signed. He said he wanted to win. He said that he was going to re-sign. So, you know, Kevin Love, man of his word, re-signed with Cleveland. They still haven't signed it back their best player yet, LeBron. He's sitting back in the cut.
He's waiting for Tristan Thompson to sign.
Yeah, he wants that Tristan because Rich Paul is his both of their agents. Yeah. So LeBron's milking that and using his leverage to make sure Dan Gilbert Mac goes all the way up to the luxury tax level to ensure a top quality team.
He owes him. He owes him.
He does owe him that.
He's going to have to, you know, he's going to pay me what you owe. You may own in the comments. You're going to pay me what you owe.
Yeah, but this can work out. This is going to work out for Kevin Love and Cleveland long term because, you know, if Cleveland gets, let's say they run off the next two championships, Kevin Love still isn't happy with his role with the team. Kevin Love will still be, what, 27, 28?
Yeah.
So he can go back to being a guy that averaged, you know, 26 and 12. And a team would definitely trade for him with that max contract, only having 3 years left. So it can work out for Cleveland and Kevin Love, for both of them. So it's good. In hindsight, it's a good signing.
All right, let's go. Greg Monroe to the Bucks. This is a deal I loved. I love this deal.
I didn't love it because I thought he was coming to the Knicks.
It was a good fit.
But no, it's the best fit for him long term.
No, the Knicks would know that. To be honest with you, the best fit, I'm just thinking because of where the Knicks organization is. It's kind of because the triangle, this is the Knicks would have been the best fit for him because of the triangle.
Yeah, because of the triangle offense. I think that you put him in the high post or in the low post with his passing ability.
Yeah, it's something special.
It would have just worked, but he made the best basketball decision.
Oh, definitely.
For
the team, he's going to be.
Yeah, he got a max contract, only 3 years.
Yeah.
So that means he's still going to get a longer term max contract.
I think his third year, he has an option on that.
Year is an option. So essentially, it's a 2 year deal with an option for the third.
Mm-hmm.
He'll still only be 26, 27. So he can sign for that long
money. Mm-hmm.
He's playing in the East where there are no centers.
Yeah.
So he can make an all-star team if he puts up the right type of number. If he puts up the numbers and the Bucks are successful. And then also
the talent he's playing with now.
And another thing, people don't give my man Jason Kidd the credit.
He's a good coach, man.
People just don't give that
he's
guy.
He's a hell of a coach. Seriously.
The credit he deserves or making adjustments on the fly to game plan. He's one of the better coaches, and, you know, he'll definitely devise a way to maximize Greg Monroe's talent. So, you know, for him, best of luck. I wish you were a Nick, but ultimately you made the best decision.
Let's just put this roster for what it is. The Greek Freak. I'm not impressed with him, but you know what I mean. He's still an athletic. He's an athletic player. Jabari Parker comes off injury. He's coming back.
Yep.
You got Michael Carter Williams.
Mm-hmm.
All right, that's Greg Monroe. That is a team.
Chris Middleton.
I'm sorry, Chris Middleton, who just got paid too.
Yeah, he got paid, and you have OJ Mayo.
OJ Mayo. Yeah, you're a team now. This is a team. This is a legit deep team. I'm forgetting something. Is it Henson?
Henson. You got Henson. So they got all types of young talent.
Yeah, it's right there. Like Jace, this team is ready to go. And again, like I said, Jabari Parker is supposed to be to me their best player offensively. They're going to be scary. They are going to be very scary. And with the coach Jason Kidd, like you said, else.
I said last year, before the season started, watch out for Milwaukee. That's a team. That's a young team that's on the rise. Now, you know, with they won, what, two games in the playoffs?
Yeah.
So this team has a little bit more confidence. You added Greg Monroe. Watch out. I mean, everyone's saying that the Wizards are assured of a top four spot.
Not with Milwaukee. Not with that Milwaukee team. Mm-hmm. That's talent, man. Yep. Talent is a beast. That is real talent. That is not average talent. That's you got talent all across the board. Your point guard. You need a point guard who can give you a system and who can control the game. Michael Carter Williams has that ability. You need a scorer. We heard that Jabari Parker's compared to Mayo to Melo. They call him a chill Melo and Duke.
I say he's more like Big Dog.
Yeah, that too. To me, they're about the same, to be honest with you. A scorer, a guy who can give you 25. Let's put it that way. A guy can give you 25. You got Greg Monroe, who's not a selfish big, who's a guy who wants his touches, but is a double-double and is willing to share the ball. This team is cool. And you got your athletic freak in the Greek. You know what I mean? So it all works out for the Milwaukee Bucks. I see the Milwaukee Bucks being as high as a 3 seed, to be honest with you. I can definitely see that too. I could definitely see it. All right, let's go. You talked about it earlier. DeAndre Jordan signing with the Mavericks, leaving the Clippers and signing with the Mavericks.
Evidently, DeAndre Jordan wanted to be a focal point, wanted to be more of a presence in the offense.
I heard.
Yeah, granted, when Blake Griffin was out, he put up decent numbers. He was averaging, 12 and like two blocks.
But it's a reason for that. But go ahead.
Yeah, there's a reason for that. Definitely L.A. loses out on him, especially on those pick and rolls, because when DeAndre Jordan goes to the basket, you draw two, sometimes three defenders who are trying to stop that lob pass. Mm-hmm. You lose a guy who's aggressive on the defensive boards, a guy who could block shots. But, you know, he was a liability fourth quarter when teams wanted to do the hack of DeAndre. I alluded to it in the other section of the we were having a discussion earlier. On the surface, it may look like a big loss, but I think with the pieces you added, it's actually a net even for the Clippers at this point.
Explain that to me real quick.
Well, you bring in what the Clippers lacked the most last year was a second and third guy who can create a shot for themselves and others. Paul Pierce, Lance Stephenson. Now, if Doc Rivers is a player's coach. Lance Stephenson, he's going to tell Lance Stephenson, look, I want you to play with the second unit. I want you and Jamal Crawford.
Well, they're trying to get rid of Jamal Crawford.
They got Austin Rivers. This team is a little bit deeper than they were last year from the perspective of the wing and being able guys who create shots for themselves. But if you put Lance Stephenson up coming off the bench with Jamal Crawford, those two are going to kill other people's second units with their scoring ability.
It's all about structure, though.
It depends on how Doc structures it. Austin Rivers took that step.
He did. Sure, he played great ball.
He took that step and looks like actually an NBA pro now.
Yeah.
A contributing NBA pro. What you lose in DeAndre Jordan, even though this guy just recently was signed, I think a guy like Bismack Biyombo, who signed with the Toronto Raptors, could provide it with you what DeAndre Jordan provided, which is rim protection.
Who did they replace?
Now you go with JaVale McGee. JaVale McGee is out there. Huh?
Are they targeting JaVale McGee?
You can get JaVale McGee for cheap.
You could. That's a good one.
Yeah, if you want a guy who protects the rim, is aggressive off the glass, and who plays into your whole Lob City thing, JaVale McGee is just as athletic catching the ball off of the lob as a DeAndre Jordan. So I say that's why I say.
I actually like that one.
Yeah, it's even
if Doc can reach him.
If Doc can reach him, and we all know that Doc Rivers is a player coach, he can communicate and identify with the younger players or guys who've been ahead cases. I actually think if you sign back Austin Rivers, you keep Jordan, Jamal Crawford, you Paul Pierce, you still have J.J. Redick. Blake Griffin took his game to another level this year.
Mm-hmm.
You add JaVale McGee. I'm not saying this instantly makes you a championship contender, but I think you're still at the same point you were at last year. Now, if you could have added a guy like JaVale McGee and the guy who went to the Kings, Kofis Kousis, I think that's his name.
Yeah, Kousis, yeah.
Yeah, who was the backup center for the Memphis Grizzlies. Yeah. I think you would have been better off than you were last year. But if you get JaVale McGee and you're able to get another serviceable big man who's a rim protector and a rebounder, I think you just at the same. You may be a little bit better than you were last year. Just my opinion.
No, I like that. I just didn't think about that. You know, JaVale McGee, an immature ball player, but is athletic, rebounds, block shots,
runs the floor.
You got the lob city theme still there. JaVale McGee can catch. Well, yeah,
JaVale McGee can go jump. Past big. Yeah, yeah,
Jumper than DeAndre.
Runs the floor better than DeAndre.
The only problem is that DeAndre is a bigger guy.
Yeah, he's a bigger guy who, you know, took up space in the lane on a defense. But JaVale McGee is just as good defending the post and also a better, to me, in my opinion, offside shot blocker.
Go ahead.
A shot giving help from the weak side on shot blocking.
But who do they have now in the roster that can replace him? My thing is they don't have anybody on the roster at the moment.
So they go to the season like this.
They're not better.
That's what I'm saying. I think they're about if you get JaVale McGee, mm-hmm. I think you're a little bit better than you were last year.
Yeah, I agree.
If you don't get JaVale McGee, Doc Rivers, you're gonna have to change the way you play it because you have more wings. So maybe you play small ball. Maybe you get up and down the floor a little bit more often.
But is that team good enough to win a championship?
No, the team. No, the way without DeAndre, without a bona fide rim protector,
mm-hmm.
you're not structured to win a championship.
I like that. Actually, I like that idea about getting JaVale. I forgot he's still in the market.
Yeah, I mean, that's why I should be in someone's front office right now.
You should. Did you think you got that on your own?
Yeah, I got that on my own.
For real? So because he's cheap.
He's cheap.
That's why I like it because
he was bought out. He was bought out by –
What about Larry Sanders? Even Larry Sanders then.
Larry Sanders still – I thought about Larry Sanders.
That's a good one for us. That's actually better than JaVale.
Yeah, but he still has his – he's going through his mental issues, his problems, you know. But if Larry Sanders is – if his head is right
– Yeah.
Please.
Yeah, I'm taking that.
I'm taking Larry Sanders all day.
over JaVale. I'm taking Larry Sanders easy.
I would take both. I mean, you probably could sign both of them for cheap.
Yeah.
They've already got that the big contract that's still being paid out mm-hmm. to them from the stretch provision from the Larry Sanders from Milwaukee mm-hmm. and JaVale McGee from I think Philadelphia, if I'm not mistaken.
Philadelphia.
He was traded to Philadelphia.
Yeah, Philadelphia. Yeah. It's Philadelphia. It is Philadelphia, yeah. Correct.
So if you can get both of those guys and get their heads right, please.
I like that one. I'm actually, but anyway, let's go to the beef though. Do you believe the talk that DeAndre Jordan left because of Chris Paul, because of his relationship with Chris Paul?
No, I think it had more to do with him wanting to be a bigger place, a bigger part of the offense. But you know what was I think a comment that DeAndre Jordan made that no one's really gave traction to? He said one of the reasons he wanted to leave that team was he wasn't sure about the roster in 2 years when Blake Griffin has the ability to be a free agent.
Mm.
The reason I say that's scary is because everyone knows that Blake Griffin and DeAndre Jordan are tight.
Yeah, it's tight.
So did Blake Griffin tell DeAndre Jordan, look, man, in 2 years, I'm game to leaving?
And I think that's something that no one's talking about that I think should have gotten a little bit more traction and should have, you know, somebody should do more investigating reporting on. Because, you know, one of the reasons he said was he's not comfortable with that roster long term with Blake Griffin being a free agent in 2 years. He's the closest guy, for all accounts, he's the closest guy on that team to Blake Griffin. So did Blake Griffin tell him something like, look, I'm growing a little bit frustrated? You know, because you know they're saying that Chris Paul and Blake Griffin were on the outs, you know, had their moments.
Yeah, everybody says that. Everybody says that, like, you know, that Chris Paul is like this individual that's kind of being divisive within the organization, within the players and the team. I don't know. DeAndre Jordan, you see articles about, you know, Chris Paul not giving DeAndre Jordan a high five during
break. Listen, ain't nobody giving up $30 million just because you're not giving me a high five.
I know this is something it's hilarious. That's stupid. These articles, but you saw the article.
Yeah, I saw the article. I think that's ridiculous.
It's just a lot of stuff.
Just because you give DAP to the other three players and not me, I'm going to leave $30 million on the table.
It's like,
that's ludicrous.
You know what I mean? So it's like when you see stuff like that, you're like, how, like, if true, like, how weak minded is DeAndre Jordan? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You're playing with Chris Paul. Like, how weak-minded are you?
The reason he left is, A, no state taxes in Texas.
That too. Being at home.
B, yeah, being at home. And C, he wanted to be a bigger part of the offense. And in Dallas, the reality is he has that opportunity. Dirk is on his way out. Chandler Parsons is Chandler Parsons. Wesley Matthews.
You don't like Chandler. Chandler Parsons like that.
He fits. He's in that mode of Kawhi Leonard. To me, it's not the face of your franchise.
You're not
being taken to a championship.
Oh, you talking about, are we like, no, he's not a face now.
Chandler Parsons isn't the face of your franchise. Parsons isn't a guy that you can say, hey, I'm going to build my team around Chandler Parsons and win a championship.
No, I'm with you on that one.
No, but, you know, is Chandler Parsons a piece? Yes. Mm-hmm. Can DeAndre Jordan be a guy that can go to Dallas and potentially average like 18 and 12? Where they run more plays for him and his offensive game gets better? Yes.
The reason why I think that for him, it sells for DeAndre Jordan. I don't agree with him. I think he's not a good offensive player. I think he'll never be a good offensive player. Is that, you know, Dirk is a stretch four. He is. So Dirk can shoot the three and he can have all that space on the inside. So it does work for him as a big. But my problem with him is when he looks at his stats, it's like you have to understand that Chris Paul set him up for dunks and lobs. So that's on the screen and roll, you're not getting those same points. They weren't really pounding you down. They weren't giving it to you down low for you to do work in the block. That was the type of scoring you were getting. You were getting Chris Paul drive to the basket, facilitated, dunk. Chris Paul drive to the basket, lob, dunk. You weren't high screen roll, dive to the basket, dunk. You were getting those kind of stats. You were getting putback dunks. You weren't getting, okay, hey, let's dump it down DeAndre. Let's let him go to work. Why? One, because if you get fouled, you're going to the line and you can't shoot free throws. So again, it goes back to the whole DeAndre Jordan thinking that if he thinks that he's going to be a 15 to 10 guy, you got to understand you're playing with the best point guard in the world in terms of how he sets up your offense. You don't have that anymore. Who's going to be that person for you?
Touche.
So, I mean, I think you're right. I think you're right. I think you're dead on that he went to Dallas thinking like, okay, I'm going to get my stats. That may not happen. You know, not everybody's going to get you a lob, and you're not going to get like 10 offensive rebounds for dunks.
But I will say this. He's going to a situation in Dallas with a guy in Rick Carlisle who's a great offensive coach.
I think he's a great coach, period.
Yeah.
You know, so we'll see how that pans out for young DeAndre. Let's go into Let's briefly talk about the NBA draft. We didn't get a chance to talk about it because we were gone for 2 weeks. But your thoughts on the NBA draft, winners and losers. But you could just talk about it in general, and we'll get to winners and losers.
I think that Minnesota came out well with Karl-Anthony Towns and also Tyus Jones.
Uh-huh.
I'm not a huge fan of Ricky Rubio, so maybe Tyus Jones slides in there and is able to supplant Ricky Rubio over the long term. Uh-huh. As the starting point guard, Karl-Anthony Towns, he has a great mentor in Kevin Garnett. If he shuts up and listens to what KG tells him and see how KG works,
uh-huh.
You know, because to me, I ultimately think that his ceiling is at the level that KG is at, Karl-Anthony Towns.
Yeah, definitely.
He definitely has the ultimate role model, the guy who can take him under the wing and show him how to prepare, how to read defenses, and how to be a pro.
Most definitely.
Philadelphia, I'm just confused. I'll say this. Philadelphia, to me, is a team that lacks direction for the long term. Even though I do think they got one of the best talents in probably the best, the guy who can come in and make an impact right away, and Jahlil Okafor.
Yeah.
But you have Jahlil Okafor, you have Joel Embiid, who still has foot and back injuries. Nerlens Noel. Then you have the guy from Croatia who you drafted last year or the year before last. You don't have any guards, and no one. You don't have anyone who really can handle the ball. So that's why I thought that a guy like Munde would have been a better pick for you.
For the Philadelphia 76ers.
And let Okafor come to the Knicks. But it didn't happen that way. I think one of the debate that people are going to have for the next couple of years is, was Detroit justified in taking Stanley Johnson over Justice Winslow? Now, for all intents and purposes, Stanley Johnson's come out and looked great during summer league. But how does that pan over to playing in regular season basketball? And also the style of play that Stan Van Gundy likes to play, which is essentially four perimeter players and one big down low, because he has Andre Drummond. Drummond's that five who, like Dwight Howard, was very athletic and run the floor, block shots. You don't have to run a ton of plays for. You know, can you surround him with four guys on the wings that can put up threes and run pick and roll?
Yeah, Drummond has like no offensive game for real.
Yeah, the rich getting richer with OKC, Cameron Payne. I don't know if anyone had a chance to see him in college, but he's a slick left-handed ball handler.
From Michigan State?
Cameron Payne, he went to Murray
State. Murray State, sorry. Yeah,
he's a guy that ultimately maybe can be playing in the backcourt at the same time with Russell Westbrook.
Russie West.
Charlotte, once again, I don't understand.
I love that. I like that pick.
I'm not a huge fan. I think you could have traded down, gotten value, and still gotten Frank Kaminsky.
I don't think he's going to slip that far, man. He really wasn't. I did my mock draft, and I looked at the numbers. He wasn't going to slip that far.
Mock draft? Your mock draft, huh?
Yeah, when he went to Charlotte, he went where I thought he was going to go.
Okay.
You know what I mean? I'm great that way. The Lakers, the controversial one would be Okafor and Russell. I think the Lakers will regret that one. It will be that one. You're like, wow, Sam Bowie, you know, type thing. It'll be that way. I really believe it. I believe they regret it. Hey, it's my segment. It's my part.
Yeah.
You had your time. You can disagree after I'm done.
Okay.
All right. The Lakers will regret it. Because again, Jahlil Okafor is a talent that we haven't seen in a long time in terms of post work. And in the college game, I don't even talk about the NBA game. In the college game, we see opportunity to see a real big post up, good footwork, and you know, do some things that we haven't seen since maybe a Tim Duncan in terms of post moves and post work. Not saying he's as good as Tim Duncan, but you know what I mean. So we haven't seen that, and for the Lakers to pass that up on a guy who can, you know, easily give you 20 and 10 with bad post defenders and bad centers, period, in the NBA. It's a win situation. He's still young. And I hate the whole thought process that his ceiling is like not as high. He's what? 19? He's 20.
Who are you talking
Jahlil.
About?
I hate this argument. Go ahead. Go ahead.
But to me, his floor and his ceiling his floor coming in right now, he's Brad Daugherty.
Yeah.
And anyone who watched the NBA during the early 90s knows how good Brad Daugherty
is. He was good, yeah.
His ceiling is Tim Duncan.
Yes. Like, seriously.
Like, Brad Daugherty, Tim Duncan.
Yeah.
So that automatically means he's an at least 7-time All-Star.
Yeah, exactly. It's amazing. Like, they look at a player because he's not as athletic as other people, right? All right, so granted, they'll say he can't play the pick and roll. We're going to torch him pick and roll. I don't expect him to be good in the pick and roll. I just don't as a defender. He's a 7-foot dude big. He's not the fastest in the world. But he's going to make you pay. His thing is offense. That is his thing. All right? He can improve on the defense. Truth be told, he can improve on pick and roll play.
And then also, sorry.
There
are ways that you can mask his deficiencies in pick and roll. Don't give me that BS. Well, pick and roll. In today's league, it's pick and roll, pick and pop. There are ways that you can mask his inefficiencies. And he can also show – he's shown the willingness to get better in whatever aspect and facet of the game you want him to improve in.
And who is his power – who's going to probably be his power forward?
Nerlens Noel.
Is he a good defender?
Hell yeah.
There you go. That's what I'm saying. There you go. There you go. Was Shaq a good defender?
Hell no.
Was Rob Ori a good defender?
Yeah.
Exactly. There you go.
That's what I'm saying.
It's
the mask.
There's ways you
when it comes. So I hate when people give that argument. Look, the kid's floor. If he doesn't improve any, he's Brad Daugherty already.
Exactly.
And anyone who watched, like I said, Cleveland, those Cleveland teams, even though they were crucified by Jordan in the playoffs, Brad Daugherty was a hell of a ball player. I know a lot of people don't, you know, the youngsters now, they
don't know
ESPN for being NASCAR, but Brad Daugherty was a hell of a ball player.
Yeah, get NBA Showdown. He had his own little move.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? Brad Daugherty got buckets.
Brad Daugherty was a hell of a ball player.
You know, Hot Rod Williams was like, yeah, Larry Nance, he got buckets.
Craig Eli, you know? Mark Price.
So Brad Daugherty was no bum by any stretch of the imagination. He was a really good center in the NBA. Really good center in the NBA. He went to North Carolina, all right? He wasn't a bum. He wasn't a bum.
And to me, and even though it wasn't apples to apples, but when Tim Duncan came in, we knew that he was
a transcendent.
He was an A player when you marked off all the boxes.
Yeah.
But there are some areas where Tim Duncan vastly improved his game.
Of course.
Particularly with Tim Duncan, the thing that he came into the league he had was footwork.
Yeah, he had a footwork.
And that's what Jahlil Okafor has right now, footwork.
Yeah, exactly.
On offense.
So I don't want to hear like he can't get better. Like I don't want to hear that talk. Because you hear it all the time in the draft. Because you can't jump over cars or whatever, you don't have – like your ceiling isn't as high.
Yeah, I hate that.
Like Jahlil Okafor will be all right. Like his ceiling could just imagine if he could improve on his footwork.
Imagine if he improves on his free throw shooting.
Exactly. Then what are you going to do? How are you going to stop this young man? How could you stop this young man? He always shoots. He faces up. He plays the mid-range jumper. Exactly. He does the glass shot like Tim Duncan already in college.
The dude has the hook shot.
Yeah, he has a hook shot. The dude is already there. In terms of post work, he's already there. So I don't want to hear that. But again, I think the Sixers win in the draft, to be honest with you. I love their draft. I mean, because they got Okafor. And that's how I pair it up with Noel. This team this team may not be a joke anymore. You know what I mean? That's how I look at it. They may not be a joke anymore.
No, I mean, with Nerlens Noel and Jahlil Okafor, that gets you 25 wins.
Yeah, that gets you 25
wins.
You're not going to be a joke anymore. Like, I don't think now, I think you have direction. You can say, okay, because down the stretch, you always think about who can you give the ball to. Well, now you can say, well, down the stretch, I can go to Okafor. He can pass out a double team and see where we can go from there.
Yeah, you know what I mean? It's a point of getting talent on that roster.
Yeah,
that's not D League.
Exactly. That fit playing with Okafor. Like, you need shooters now. Because once you have a big who demands a double team, you need shooters around him.
Yep.
All right? You have the power forward in Noel's who's going to play good defense, who's probably going to be a high screen role dunking player, guy who can put backs and do a lot. You don't need to run that much offense for him. This is a situation that can work for him. So, again, I like it. You have any winners and losers in this draft? The Lakers lose to me, but I'm biased, though, with that crap.
If I had to go with one loser in the draft,
it wouldn't be Knicks. Would.
Well, see, here's the thing with Porzingis.
Yeah.
One, I don't have guys that are like 7 – I can't remember a guy who was 7'2" who didn't have either back or foot problems. So that right there concerns me. The one thing that's a plus for him, he's been playing professional basketball since he was like, 15?
Mm-hmm.
So he's used to the grind of professional basketball. He's too skinny, but he has a jump shot. Everyone has raved about his workout, but to me, it's a workout. It's a workout. I can go out here and hit 10 straight shots.
I know I can.
I can. Hey, I might can't dunk, but I can slap the glass with authority.
Exactly. Son, tell him.
I can hit the jumpers. I can dribble with both hands.
Yeah.
I can pass with my right, pass with my left.
Yeah.
I can throw behind the back passes with both hands too.
I can make it look nice.
Yeah. So
pay me, son.
I'm not gonna say it's a loss. I'm gonna take a wait and see approach with Porzingis. But I think a team that definitely fell behind, but I question the Wizards with the Oubre pick. That's one.
Oubre.
Oubre.
We got you.
You drafted Jeremiah Grant. You drafted Grant, the Grant boy from Notre Dame. That could have been a backup point guard. I was excited for that pick for the Wizards he's a Knick now. Yeah, I like the pick for the Knicks.
Yeah, it's a great pick for the Knicks.
But for the Wizards, especially when you compound it with you're a team that is on the brink right now, you have the opportunity to go to that next level in the East. You needed to bring in a guy, I think, who could have contributed contributed not right off the back, but towards the end of the season, would have been a guy who's a rotation guy and can help you with Oubre. He's a developmental guy. He's a project.
Yeah, that's not a bad way of looking at it. I never thought about it that way. The Wizards, like,
you people do, man. I look at it from all angles, man.
This man's hilarious. You know? You're hilarious, dude.
I'm not hilarious, man. I just keep it real.
I mean, that's not a bad thing. Being hilarious is not bad, man. When I say hilarious, doesn't mean it's a negative.
No,
man.
I'm just giving you a hard time.
Why? Why you got to be the Malcolm X of the team?
That's what I do. You see the glasses.
I see
right?
It, man. You got the juice now, man. You got the juice now. Anyway, it's time for commercial break. When we get back, we'll be talking about the MLB All-Star Game. Bryce Harper, leading vote getter in the NL. And also, he's not going to be in the home run contest.
Great.
It's the Urban Sports thing.
For ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
Morning, it's me, Magic Johnson here. I won 5 NBA championships and Olympic gold medal. So I'm calling the shots today. Get up out of bed, into school, try hard, do well. School got me to where I am today. So be there every single day and, of course, give it your best shot.
I try and make it next month soon up in fucking shredder she wrote.
How much money is that?
Yellow beat, holler at me.
And chewy and some hot. Like I told Tish, I see when I like you seen him twirl, then he drops it. And we keep them to my block. And Monte keep it on him, he done drop. And we be wildin', he some hot. Tones known to get busy with them. Try to run down and you could catch. Running through these checks till I pass out. And shorty give me neck till I pass out. I swear to God, all I do is cash out. And if you ain't up, get up on my trap house. I've been selling since like the 5th grade. Really never made no difference with the shit made.
My man Will's on, you know what I'm saying, now with Aaron, but my man Will's going ham on Wegmans. He's saying Wegmans is cheaper than Giant. Do you agree? Call in, the number's 240-478-3140. Again, Wegmans is cheaper than Giant.
In my opinion.
In Will's opinion. And we all know what Will says is like gold. Nah, Wegmans, so, baby. Here's it again. It's fresher. It's fresher and it's cheaper than Giant. Quote, am I right?
That's it. Fresher and cheaper than Giant.
That's what Will T just said. You heard it.
Yeah, exactly.
There you go. You heard it right here first. You heard it from the Urban Sports Saints first.
Wegmans, you owe me.
You owe him.
Free for blessings.
Exactly. And we'll give out free promotion, period. You know, I've been trying to get free promotion. We're like, why? Shut up. No free promotion here. It's real out here.
It's real out here.
It's real out here. Anyway, we're back.
We're in the dark, man.
We're in the dark. It's hot. It's like a
hot,
fan blowing. You know what I'm saying? Bobby Schmurder playing.
Yeah. Bobby Schmurder's still locked up.
Is he? Damn, where are you going to get out?
I don't know.
What are you doing again?
I don't know. I can't say I pay that much attention.
Me either. I don't either.
Music. I just know that he's still locked up.
I don't, man. I don't pay attention.
Free Bobby Schmurder. Psych, free. I don't know.
Oh.
I don't know what he did.
I don't know what he did. He tried to kill somebody?
I don't know, man.
He probably did.
Like I said, I don't follow Bobby Schmurder.
I don't. I just like the song. I just like the little dance videos folks be doing. The little.
Speaking of music, did you hear the Meek Mill album yet?
No, I didn't.
I have it. I just haven't listened to it yet.
I don't like Meek Mill, so I don't really listen to him.
Not a fan of Meek?
Not at all. Any guy, what's his name too?
Nicki Minaj.
I know, it makes me hate him even more.
Why? Don't hate on that man. Just
hate.
I'm going to listen to it. I haven't put it on my iPod yet.
Yeah.
I have the album. I purchased the album.
You did?
Wink.
I was about to say, you scared me. Good God. The wink thing, thank you. Golly. Oh, that scared the bejesus out of me.
I'm looking forward to listening to it when I leave here.
Okay, cool. I need to check that out. Not that. Is there another album coming out? Any other good albums coming out?
Miguel came out.
Did he?
Miguel,
I gotta check it out.
Miguel's one of the few guys that are making classic R&B.
Oh, I'm not knocking R&B. I haven't checked it out.
The Internet.
Yeah, I know about
the Ego.
I know the Internet.
Yeah, I got that. I haven't listened to it yet. I got a lot of new music.
This date is over. That, you know, the lady in charge of that. Oh, she loves that group.
Wow, you. we'll skip that subject.
No. I said, like, no. I'm putting people's names out there. That's all.
I mean, you're part of the business.
I am, but I'm saying I want you to understand. I was just saying that, like, you know.
Yeah. I love the Internet. Death of the. I love their first album. So.
Yeah, I tried to listen to it. I didn't like it.
You didn't like it?
Yeah, I tried. She gave it to me, and I tried to listen to it. I was like, nah, I don't like this.
Another album you should get out. You should listen to.
What's up?
Donnie Trumpet and the Social Experiment. I got a blank. You ever heard of Chance the Rapper?
Chance?
No. Chance the Rapper.
The dude that was on, what's his name?
What?
Chance that was on in I Love New York stuff?
No.
No, I haven't.
Okay. I'll give it to you. I'll let you listen to
then
it.
Let me listen to it and then let me see if I like it or not.
Okay, yeah.
I'll give everything an open.
But those are, you know, I'm into a lot of different music.
Yes. I mean, I see. That's good, man. You like Bilal too and everything, right?
Yeah, I love all that
stuff.
Yeah,
I can tell. I don't listen to that Bama too. Y'all listen to them dudes. I just listen to ignorant music.
Yeah, I like
Three Sticks Mafia.
Listen to.
Yeah, this one, man, Will T's a romantic.
Listen, no, I ain't no romantic.
I listen to songs like, you know, 3-6. I've been listening to Retro 3-6 on The Last to Walk One, and it was like, I'd rather get some. I've been listening to songs like that.
Dad, I know. You like to listen to the ratchet turn up.
Yeah. I call strip club music. Okay. Again, you want to call on our phone lines. Our opening number is 240-478-3140. That's 240-478-3140. Let's talk about the Nationals. Well, the All-Star game. Bryce Harper was the leading vote getter. Nationals center fielder Bryce Harper, leading vote getter. Not center fielder, excuse me, right fielder, leading vote getter for the National League. But he's decided not to play in the home run contest. Your thoughts about that?
Not mad at him at all. As a Nats fan, someone who supports the hometown team, unlike yourself, I've seen with the.
Excuse me, was that a shot at me?
It was. Bang, bang.
Bang, bang. Go ahead, continue.
We saw with him participating in the home run derby did the other time. It messed up his swing post All-Star game. This team is has a four and a half game lead over the Mets. Just 9 games over 500. Looks like it's going to be 8 after tonight. And he's contending for the Triple Crown, and he's clearly the NL MVP for the first half of the season.
Definitely.
I don't want him to put any more wear and tear on his body. I know people will say just taking swings at a ball for one night isn't gonna affect him. But, yeah, it can affect his swing when he comes back. And we need Bryce Harper at optimal level for the stretch run for the second half of the season. So I'm not mad at him. It would have been nice for him, especially if him and Giancarlo Stanton was healthy, for both of those guys to participate. But I'm not mad at all.
No, I'm not mad at it either. I think as a fan, you would want to see him in the home run contest. A fan of baseball, not the Nationals. I think National fans want the best for the Nationals. But as a fan of baseball, you would like to see, just like, I guess, like LeBron. Like if LeBron was in the dunk contest, a lot of fans would like to see LeBron in the dunk contest. I don't care. I seen the dunk contest in high school. In high school, it sucked. But a lot of fans would like to see LeBron in the dunk contest. So, you know, a lot of fans, Bryce has fans all around the United States. Period. And if he's not in the home run contest, I'm sure they feel slighted. Again, in terms of what for the Nats though, I'm not knocking it. He has a bigger mission in mind. You heard him talk about it before the season started, saying that we're the favorites. I expect to go to the World Series. So he's doing his best for this team to get to the World Series, and they need Bryce Harper to play at an MVP level throughout the season and not go through slumps. So this is a way for him not to go through a slump. Can't knock it. He's about winning. And if you don't understand it, if you're not down with that, then then you're not really a Nationals fan or a Bryce Harper fan. You gotta respect the man for what he's stating. He's stating that I want my team to get the best Bryce Harper they can get throughout the season and not go through a slump. So I can't knock him for that at all.
Touche, man. So we agree on something.
We finally agree on something. Yes. Yes. You know, we used to agree a lot back in the day. Yeah, we stop. Now we stop. That's cool, though. I guess it's better radio, right?
Yeah. It makes for better radio.
It does, doesn't it? I thought so, too. Anyway, so you agree right there. who from the Nets do you feel got snubbed out of the All-Star team?
I don't feel as if anyone got snubbed. Mm-hmm. You know, right? To me, the guys who were clear All-Stars were Bryce Harper, Max Scherzer. Some people you can make the case for Yulin Escobar.
Yeah, I thought he played so well.
He's playing so well at third, and he's hitting batting like what 318 something like that. So you could make the case for Yulin Escobar, but snub to me means a guy who obviously should have been on.
I think Drew Storen should have made it. I think he's had a good season. He's been real dominant as a closer. I've been watching him.
I can see that.
I think he would be good.
I forgot about Drew Storen.
I think he should have made it, to be honest with you. But again, I don't feel. I mean, I think he should have made it, but I don't feel like it's been a big snub though. Like I agree with you. Like I don't get the "how dare you" moment. You know what I mean? Like how dare you not put him in the All-Star game? Like not put him in the All-Star game. You know what I mean? So I don't feel bad about that. I don't feel like they've been snubbed that way. Let's go with up 295.
Up 295.
Whoa. I'm getting there. The Orioles have four All-Star selections: Adam Jones, O'Day, Zach Britton, Manny Machado. All not surprising. These guys deserve to make the All-Star team. Darren O'Day deserved to make the All-Star team. O'Day, I was a little bit surprised because he's a reliever, not the closer. Britton's the closer, but you know the All Star game matters, so they now take relievers, specialized relievers, to be in the big game. So, Adam Jones, not surprised. Manny Machado again to me is going to be one of the best players in baseball. Period. You see the streak he's on. He's to me on the level of Bryce Harper and
I'm not
Mike Trout.
He's on the level.
Have you seen his stats? Harper-esque. He's hitting a homer every week. He's on a level. You see his home runs, the average.
He's up there.
And the way he plays defense.
Doing this year is special.
Yeah, I mean he's on a level of him. This is a special year for Bryce Harper. Manny Machado's special year is coming soon. This is a special year for Bryce. I agree. But Manny Machado is on his way. He is on his way, and you know he's going to be rivaling Trout in the AL period for years to come. But again, these are guys. But Manny Machado, I'm gonna focus on. He's coming into his own. This is really has been like his team. He's been the best Oriole, the best player on the Orioles throughout the season, and it's been very impressive. And I've been, as an Oriole fan, very proud to watch this man play day in day out, doing the things he's done. I know, right? Doing the things he's done. He's being prepared. He's comparable to one of my favorite players, Alex Rodriguez. We're going to talk about right now. Before we talk about A-Rod real quick, we're talking about A-Rod. I'm gonna skip that last topic. I segue into A-Rod. I want to talk about him real quick. A-Rod, he didn't make the All-Star team.
No, he didn't.
I have a big issue with that.
A-Rod said he would have walked to Cincinnati because it would have been that much of an honor for him to make the All-Star team. He said that last week before All-Star names were released. I don't have a huge problem with it. I do have a problem with it just because look at his production versus the rest of the DHs. Clearly, you see that statistically he's having a better year than any other DH. Other than
Prince Fielder.
Yeah, all
other than Prince Fielder.
No, then Nelson. Well, Nelson Cruz is hitting more homers.
Yeah, Nelson Cruz is having a good year too.
But all around.
Go ahead.
When you take into consideration that you know Nelson Cruz and Prince Fielder, you can't be that you're upset for A-Rod because he's having a good year, especially when no one thought that he would have this type of year.
That's my problem.
Also take it. Coupled with he didn't play any baseball last year, and he's 40 years old.
Mm-hmm.
he's only played, I think, one game at first and one game at third, which probably hurt him a little
bit because
he had been a guy who had more games at first or third, he would have made a stronger case, because especially with, you know, Yost being the manager and this, you know, in reality, it looks like the Kansas City Royals may play in the World Series. So he had to be strategic about his lineup and his roster selection. But I'm not going to sit up here and cry to the high heavens and say it's a travesty that A-Rod didn't make it. But I do think that there should have been a place for him on this team.
I'll cry.
Scream it to the highest of the high.
Like, it's not, to me, you said it right there perfectly. The man missed a year of baseball, man. He's hitting 284, has about 16 home runs, almost hitting 300. The dude was on pace to hit close to over 30 home runs, drive in about 100 RBIs. And we talking about a guy, 40, who missed a whole year of baseball. And I agree with you, him not playing third base definitely hurt, because if he played third base, he would be an all-star. And I'll say this, if he wasn't caught up with PEDs and this crap didn't happen, he'd be an all-star. Hands down. Putting up those numbers at his age, that's remarkable. Like, he should be in the all-star game.
And like I said, I'm not crying to the high heavens because he didn't make the all-star game. I do think that there's a very strong case for him being on the all-star team, but because he didn't play another position like first or third, or even shortstop, you know, hurt him. Taking in consideration that Prince Fielder played games at, what, first base this year for Texas, if not mistaken?
Yeah, Prince plays first base and DH, yes.
Yeah, so that ultimately hurt A-Rod. But hopefully he puts together another season like this. And, you know, who's to say if he doesn't continue on the pace that he's playing at, he doesn't help the Yankees get a wild card spot.
But right now they lead the AL East.
I don't think they'll be able to sustain that. But
we'll see.
I'm a Yankees fan.
I'm an Orioles fan.
They're playing good baseball. They're playing decent baseball.
Good baseball. I mean, I'm saying at the point in time, this is where they're at. So I don't really. But I know I agree with you. I think they'll get older. They're old.
Yeah,
they're older.
That's my only concern. They don't have a lot of youth. When you're depending on those old legs and old arms, as you know, baseball is a grind, a daily grind.
It is.
Sure, you rarely get a day off.
Who are you telling? Never. I want a day off like now. I'm going to skip work. Go to some nudie bar or something.
I'll keep my reserve money.
I'm joking around. Anyway, y'all, we're about to wrap up this show. Before we leave, make sure you listen to us every week, every Tuesday, by visiting our official Urban Sports Scene website. And there you too can listen to our past shows as well. It's www.walio.podbean.com. Walio is spelled W-A-L-E-O. Podbean is spelled P-O-D-B-E-A-N.com. We're also on iTunes, Twitter, and Facebook. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. And if you have any questions or comments, just email us at change.da.game6@gmail.com.
Once again, we want to thank anyone and everyone who listened to the show. We're fans just like you. We have our own platform. Just want to two friends talking sports, and God bless you and thank you, and we will be back next week.
We will be back next week. All right, Mega. Take us out, homie. To the swag, pledge allegiance to the swag, pledge allegiance to the swag.